are learning Maseches Nedarim, Daf Mem Zayin. So the Gemara here in this parak is dealing with the issue of Neder Hana'a, a person who has a vow upon him prohibiting benefit. And what we're dealing with in particular is Shutfim, two partners, who either make a neder hana on themselves, or they are madir each other. And we saw an argument in the Mishnah with multiple examples of the argument. The case of two shutfim making a neder on each other, one shutf making a neder on the other, or even one shutf making a neder on somebody else, saying, you can't get hana from me, and therefore that person or the other shutef wouldn't be able to walk into the courtyard according to the Chachamim, and according to Blaz ben Yaakov, he may, because we believe yesh breira, that by walking in, it's retroactively revealing which part is his and which part isn't his. So he's just benefiting from himself, and not benefiting from the partner who has prohibited any benefit upon him. Then the Mishnah spoke about different terminology. The Mishnah said that if a person said, my home is prohibited upon you, or a guy says, your home is prohibited on me, so then if the fellow died, or if he sold the home to somebody else, he then could get benefit from the home. But if he said, this home is prohibited on you, then even if he passed away, it's still this home. He creates a prohibition on this home, and that prohibition would stay even after he passed away. Because when Nedarim, we look at Lashon, we look at what do the words mean, and that is the nature of the obligation that gets created. So again,
even after he sells the house?
That's right. That's right, right? Okay. He said, this home is prohibited on you. So the home now has a prohibition on it.
But the new one says you can't come to this house.
So we're going to see in the Gemara that the Gemara is going to discuss that, but the Gemara will point out that, and we've seen already mentioned earlier, that a person can prohibit something and it will stay prohibited even after it leaves his domain. That's why we had the Mishnah earlier about Shemitah, that if a person said, all of my fruit that it's here in this field is prohibited to you, and he said it before Shemitah, even though when Shemitah comes, Hashem makes it no longer his, the fruit stays prohibited on that person, because there is the power to create a prohibition on an object. And once that prohibition was created, even after the object leaves the domain of the person who's making the prohibition stays. So that's what we're going to see in today's daf. What's that? One second, Roger.
If it's life and death, this hospital is not permitted to you, and you get sick.
Well, of course, we overrule that. We overrule that for life and death. Always
overrule. How about Nedarim after death? It cannot be removed by the Chachamim?
How could they remove something, right? He's not here.
He's not here. Right? So it stays forever then?
I guess so. Yeah. That's right.
Uh-huh.
It would stay.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, Izzy.
I want to deal with Gabriel's question. We understand because he says Zeh, it's Zeh. But is this not the truth that the minute that he sold the house is a domain, is a similar to somebody that mafkir. If mafkir, I'm allowed to...
No, but it stays prohibited in the case of hefker also.
If in hefker I will have...
If he said zeh, it would also stay
so
prohibited.
If I mafkir something, and because I say zeh, still I cannot enjoy it. Yeah. Even by hefker.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah, because he said that.
With the same channel and not changing the opinion.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, so let's see the Gemara. Again, the Mishnah says, you can look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Ha'omer l'chaveiro konum l'beischa. Shani Nichnas. The person who tells his friend, there is a neder status to your home, were I to enter it. You know, as if I enter it, it's a neder on me. Or sadcha, your field. Shani lokeach, if I buy your field. And then mace, even though, then the guy dies. O shemachro l'acher, or he sold the house or home or field to somebody else. Then mutter, then he's allowed to go in. But if he said konam bayizeh, there is a konam on this house. Shani nichnas, that I enter it. Or sadezu, konam on this field. Shani lokeach, if I buy it, even if that original owner, mace, dies. O machu l'acher, sold it to somebody else, us, you're still not allowed to go into the field or the home, because he said that the prohibition is on bayizeh or sadezu. So did it? The terminology wasn't your field. The terminology was this field. So even after it's sold, or even after the guy dies, it's still this field. So the prohibition stays on it.
I just want to ask, we learned that we can make, because the real question is a lot of money. What I mean, when I made the nether, I didn't think I'm going to lose $500,000. If I go to the Rav's, they will make a tarat nederim that when I did this nether, it was not in my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a different question.
That you could do. Yeah, that you could do. Yeah. You could do that taras nedarim.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
When you sell a house to someone else, do you have to declare to the new owner, I have all these nedarim
on the house? I have these lifetime restrictions on the deed.
If I sold it to someone else, and that person now invites this other guy to that house, he has no idea.
Yeah, I assume you'd have to disclose. You'd have to tell him. You'd have to tell him. By Avimi asked, again, the Mishnah actually spoke about where the person made the neder on himself. Yaakov says to Reuven, either I'm not going into your house or this house is always prohibited on me. But what happens if it's the other way? The case that we had the discussion with Gavriel now about. Konam l'bayis zeh sha'ata nichnas. Let's say it's Reuven who tells Yaakov, a konam, there is a neder status on this house if you want to walk into it. And now, mace. And now, Reuven dies. Oh, shemachro li'acher. Or he sold it to somebody else. Amal, what's the halacha? Do we say, Adam oser davar shebir shuso? Likishiyatza mir shuso. Do we say what I told Gavriel? Namely, a person can create a prohibition on an item when it's in his domain. And once he created the prohibition, it's like a lifetime restriction on a deed. That's it. There is now, even after it left my domain, the prohibition is still on it. Oh, Lord, do we say not? I can't create a prohibition for when it'll be after my mind. Once it's no longer mine, it's no longer mine. I can't impact that anymore. It's no longer mine.
Mm-hmm. We cannot. I'm not a rana'a from Gabriel, but after my mitah, it's. I'm not having any more rana'a. I'm not in this olam. I'm olam la'an.
Right.
For a different world.
It's true.
So why the met come in?
Because of the language. Because he said by itself.
Even I'm not there that he enjoy for me.
Right, but that's what he said. That's what he said. And maybe he can create a prohibition.
So careful in an
idea. Amar Rava said, Tashma, I'll prove it. We learned, and this again, we learned this earlier. I think it was back on Daf Lamed Tes, when we had the whole sugya of Shvius, of Shemitah. We learned, Ha'omer Livno, if a fellow tells his son, Konim, I'm making a neder, Shiyata Nehenali, that you can't get any benefit from me. Umeis, then he dies. So then you're Shen, then the son does inherit from him. However, if you said, Konam, Shiyata Nehenali, Konim, you're not going to get benefit from me. Bechayai. Uvimosi, when I'm alive and after I die, either way you can't get benefit. Umeis, and then he dies. Lo yirshenu. Then he does not inherit it. He can't get benefit from the things even after his death. So one second. I mean, once he's dead, how could he impact property? So shma mina, but you see that he can't. You see from here, Adam Oser Davar Shebirshuso. A person can create a prohibition on things that are in his domain. And once he created the prohibition, Likishiyatza Mirshuso. Even after it leaves his domain, the prohibition stays. Shma mina. We see that a person can do that. And since a person can do that, that is what is going on. That would be also in the case that we've just discussed about a field. And not only is the law of the Mishnah true when the person who would walk into the field said, Sada zu asura alai, this field is prohibited on me. But even when the owner of the field says, Sada zu asura alecha, this field is prohibited on you, then even after the owner dies, that person cannot enter the field. It doesn't belong to the owner. It's true. But he created a prohibition on this object, and that prohibition can stay even after the object left his domain.
But Rabbi, isn't this because we learned that the father is responsible and is a mitzvah to take care of his children and his wife.
Good.
Okay. And now all of a sudden, meaning that everything he has belongs to his children and his wife.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden here is a restriction on it, and the son is not allowed to benefit from it. Isn't that a
he can do that.
Contradiction here? It's called kalam.
Well, if we remember, we learned that he's responsible for the girls when they're not yet married.
Right.
But maybe the kids are already adults. So, and the girls may be already married. He may not be in a situation where he has
You're
to take care
of material stuff that including, whatever.
It could be that once he creates the neder, that's it. We also have seen repeatedly in this Masechta that once a neder is created, the neder blocks the fulfillment of mitzvahs. The neder is so
more
strong.
More powerful than
other obligations.
About,
yeah.
When somebody's on their deathbed, is it standard procedure for the rabbi to nullify all the nedarim?
Like, no.
It's not. I know this.
How many people are making the nedarim that would impact after they're alive? I mean, in general, people don't make nedarim. We always know the pasuk in Koheles Tov Asher Lo Tidor. The best is not to make any neder at all. Asher Tidor Velo Tekayim, because you might make a neder and not fulfill it. So everybody avoids making nedarim, we assume.
We do it every year.
Yom Kippur, we make a declaration. Well, that's a little bit, We our matur neder. Every Yom Kippur, right? One of the questions is, why do we do that on Yom Kippur? There are other averos too. Why is this the one big avera to focus on right before Yom Kippur? Yeah. So the classical answer is that Hashem sent us into Galus, and he was upset with us, so he made a neder. So when we're matir nedarim on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a hope that he'll be matir his neder, and bring about redemption, and build the Beis HaMikdash, take us back, let us back into the land of Israel. That's the basic hope. One of the other answers that are given for why we have Ataras Nedarim right before Yom Kippur, I'm not sure it's true, but this is what they say, that during the Spanish Inquisition, so there were many Jews who, based on the pressure, said that they were Christians. So in those days, the Christians didn't trust the Jews. So they said, you have to swear that you're Christian. So the Jews swore that they were Christian. And then years later, they would escape from Spain, and they wanted to go daven. But they said, how could we daven? We swore that we were Christian and that we would be loyal to a different faith. How could we daven to Hashem? So the Chachamim said, or they instituted a prayer, that right before Yom Kippur, they would say, Kol Nidre, that all the Nedarim are annulled, so that those Jews who felt, who am I to pray, because I have a vow on me being a Christian, all the vows are off.
Right.
And they could come in and join the rest of Am Yisrael.
Well, in avoid
prayer.
Anyway,
but those are Nidre Onsen. Yeah, those are, exactly. Those are Nidre Onsen.
Rabbi, it nullifies all the Nedarim. When you get, you know,
Kol Nidre.
When you get the birth and you do the year thing. So any Nedarim you make during the year, doesn't it get nullified right there?
Yeah.
So if there is a Nedarim on it, let's say on his friend Yaakov or on his son to benefit from his field, right there, it becomes nullified.
Died before Yom Kippur.
This is before the glory of
God. Before the practice of Saint Kol Nidre. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was before.
So if they do the Nedarim, if they do the,
they didn't do it in those days. It's a more recent innovation.
This is the innovation.
For sure.
So then Nedarim doesn't stay there for a long time. Even if the guy dies, he gets nullified ahead of Yom Kippur, right?
Presumably.
Okay.
But can I just take the one more thing that Simeon said, since we're ending this Gemara? Asking that basically, if I prohibit someone from using this object and it goes after I transfer ownership because the nature of it, how does the world function then? I mean,
it's a disclosure.
Maybe you disclose that, but I'm saying, what if I forbid Bar from using this dollar, but then I use this dollar transaction over here, and then he's going to be over and...
Don't make Nedarim.
You'd have to have disclosures.
It's not practical, though.
You'd have to have disclosures. Yeah, you'd have to have disclosures. Tanan Hassan, we learned in a Mishnah later on in this parak. A fellow who says, Konam Peros Elu Alai, these fruits have a status of a carbon to me. Or he said, Konam Hein Al Pi, they have a status of carbon to my mouth. Or Konam Hein Lifi, or they have a carbon status to me. So then, Aser, he's not allowed to eat the fruits. But not only can't eat the fruits, even Bechilu Fehen, even if the fruits are exchanged for other fruits, even if they were exchanged for money, he cannot benefit from that money. Ubegiduleya, even if those fruits are planted, and things then grow out of them, he's not allowed to get benefit from what grows. And this is apparently based on the idea that a neder is a form of hektesh. Yesh me'ila bekonamos, we saw, was a discussion. And we know in hektesh that if I say this item is hektesh, so then I can't use the hektesh item. And if the item is planted and things grow out of it, gedule hektesh are also prohibited. What grows out of hektesh is prohibited. And even chilufei hektesh, that which is exchanged for the hektesh, becomes prohibited. Right? Somebody exchanged some fruits of hektesh for other fruits. Those other fruits are also prohibited. Wow. So now, Bai Rami Bar Chama asked. That was when I made the fruits prohibited on me. But what about Konam Peros Elu Al Ploni? What happens if I have a bunch of apples? These are my apples. Either I grew them in my backyard or I bought them. And I say, these apples are prohibited on Shlomo. So now we say Shlomo can't get benefit from the apples. We've said already Shlomo can't even get benefit from the apples after I die, because these apples are prohibited. Even after they leave my domain, he can't get benefit from them. But what happens if I now exchange these apples for oranges? Can Shlomo now not get benefit from the oranges? Or if I plant the apples, could Shlomo not get benefit from what grows out of these apples? Do we say, Gabe delay, when a person's dealing with himself, he said, these apples are prohibited on me. Then we say that the exchange of the apples are also prohibited. Since a person can prohibit items that don't belong to him on himself. He can prohibit somebody else's fruit on himself. So then, Adam also davish lo balo lemalatzmo. So then, maybe when he creates a prohibition, he also he's thinking about things that don't yet exist, and he's creating a prohibition on those things too. And he can do that. But gabe chaveiro, but in reference to his friend, hoel vein Adam oser peros chaveiro al chaveiro. I could never prohibit my friend's fruit onto my friend. I can't prohibit his stuff on him. I couldn't prohibit Yaakov's stuff on Shimon. I can only prohibit my stuff on Shimon. So then, ain't Adam Oser Dovish Lo Balom Al Chaveiro. So I can't prohibit things that don't yet exist on my friend. I can't say these fruits are prohibited on Shimon, and it doesn't only mean these fruits, it even means the things that are going to grow out of these fruits. It would even mean new things that will be exchanged for these fruits. How could I? Those things don't belong to me now. If they don't belong to me, how could I prohibit them on my friend? Dilma, maybe the reason why if I say these apples are prohibited on me, the reason why I also can't benefit from the oranges that were exchanged for these apples is not because when I said these apples are prohibited on me, I was thinking about those oranges. And I can create a prohibition on things that I don't yet own. Dilma, maybe it's because the chilufin kigidulin dami. When you exchange oranges for apples, that's the same as apples growing. In other words, when you exchange an orange for an apple, basically the orange and the apple are one item. It's now the orange is the extension of the apple. The same way if you took an apple and you planted it, what grows out of the apple is really part of the apple. The original apple is still in the new apple tree. So maybe the issue here is that included in the prohibition is whatever comes out of this item. And then, and therefore, lo shnahu, it wouldn't make a difference about myself. For lo shnah chaveiro, and also in terms of my friend, there should be a prohibition.
There's no transfer. It's not a transferring element.
The question that Gemara is dealing with is, what is the reason why we have this? What's the reason of the Mishnah later? The Mishnah says later, if a person says, fruits are prohibited on me, he says, these fruits are prohibited on me. So the Mishnah says, he can't eat the fruits. If he plants the fruits and things grow out of them, he can't eat what grows out of them. If he took the fruits and exchanged them for other fruits, he couldn't eat that which was exchanged for it. So there are two ways to understand that. One way to understand that would be, because when he says, these fruits are prohibited on me, basically he's thinking, not only these fruits, but also what's going to come from these fruits. So he's basically making a neder on that which is exchanged for these fruits. He's not spelling it out, but he's making a neder on those things. He's thinking about those things. Well, if that's the case, basically he's making a neder on something which doesn't yet exist. But he can make a neder for himself on something which doesn't exist. But he shouldn't be able to make a neder for other people on something which doesn't yet exist. But then there's another way to understand that halacha. Maybe the way that halacha is not based on the fact that we're saying he's thinking about those exchanged fruits. No. He said these fruits are prohibited on me. He's not thinking about anything else. These fruits are prohibited on me. But once he says these fruits are prohibited on me, so what grows out of the fruits is also the fruits. Because that's part of the fruits. So the same way what physically grows out of a fruit is the fruit, what is exchanged for the fruit is the fruit. I wouldn't have these oranges if not for the apples. So basically when you exchange apples for oranges, the oranges are an extension of the apples. So it's that the reason why the chilufin are prohibited are not because he was thinking about them and it's a davar shlo b'olam. It was part of the original prohibition. The original prohibition of the apples being prohibited, that doesn't just mean the apples. What grows out of the apples is also the apples. What was exchanged for the apples is also the apples. So if that's what it is, that the orange is the apple now because the orange was exchanged for the apple. Without the apple, you wouldn't get the orange. So then even when he says the apples are prohibited on Yaakov, so when the apples then get exchanged for oranges, the oranges now are apples. The oranges are the apples that are prohibited on Yaakov. So Yaakov couldn't get benefit from the oranges. It's not because of Davar Shlo Bala Olam. It was the Davar Shabala Olam. It's something that was in the world. Because when he prohibited the apples, it's also whatever comes out of the apples, because that's also the apples. So maybe that's the way to understand it. And then it could apply even to somebody else.
Right, it's not technically exchange, right? It's just adding to the prohibition. You're not taking the monetary value, bringing it up to Yerushalayim, therefore not eating the fruits. It's a different concept. It's adding to the pool of restrictions
Exchanging.
No, we're saying that once it was once they were bartered, once the apples were bartered for the oranges, the oranges are now the apples. Could you eat the apples? No, you couldn't eat the apples.
So you're adding to your restrictions.
Yeah, you couldn't eat the apples. You've exchanged apples for oranges. They wouldn't be free and clear because you said these fruits are prohibited on you. We're saying even that which was exchanged for those fruits is also prohibited on you. And he said, konam peros elu alai, right? These fruits are konam on me. So he still can't eat those fruits, but he can't even eat the oranges that came from those fruits. Other people could eat those fruits. He never made a prohibition on others.
In the case of when we bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, we can take the Kedusha away from the fruit.
For sure.
Transfer it.
Yes.
No similar concept.
That's right. It's different.
Technically, the exchanging of the apple is giving him some benefit. He shouldn't even be allowed to exchange
it. I wasn't exchanging it with him.
What do you mean?
With somebody else.
Just the act of...
He explained with a third person. Right? I say, these apples are prohibited on me. Okay, these are my apples. I'm not going to get benefit from them. Baruch has nothing to do with that. Baruch can eat the apples. So I go to Baruch, I say, I want to make a deal with you.
I want to
have oranges instead of the apples. Here, I'm giving you the apples. You give me oranges. So Baruch can eat the apples, but now I can't eat these oranges.
But he got benefit from exchanging the apple. He did.
I can't, because now I can't eat the oranges.
Yeah, but you got some kind of benefit just by the act of exchanging the apples.
If you can't eat it, you don't get a benefit.
And that's the reason we're doing the benefit.
Yeah, 1 second, a question.
I think we have a very big chiddush here. I think the Rav explained it. I think it's a very big chiddush. In general, if I'm right, if I'm wrong, it's okay. That the Varsha, we learn a lot, that the Varsha lo ba'ala olam didn't work in most of the masachtot that we learn. Here the rabbi is saying that the garin of the tapuach kayam. That's why we allow it. Because
the second
garin going to make the tapuach. So that's a big chiddush.
Okay.
So it's correct?
Yeah.
That's how...
It's part of it, yeah.
Because there's something here that's going to grow. Yeah. Otherwise, we will not be the Bashir
Bala. I'm not saying otherwise not, but that's part of the reason here.
Rabbi, there are certain plantations that, let's say, he's assuring somebody to have it, okay, whoever the owner is. Now, he cannot have it. But when they cut the plantation, the seeds fall off on the dirt, and again, new plantation comes out of that. That one is still is assured too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it goes.
Rav Acha bar Minyumi. Rav Acha bar Minyumi tried to resolve this question. Tashma, coming here from the following brisa. Ha'omelish to konim shani nanilach. A fellow who tells his wife, a konim, I'm not going to get any benefit from you. Lova, or I'm sorry, konim, that you won't get any benefit from me. Right? He said, a konim. Benefit from me to you. You can't get benefit from me. Now, meanwhile, as Baruch points out, a man is obligated to provide for his wife, and he just made a neder that she can't get from him. So what does she do? Lova, she can go borrow money from other people for food. And then Ubalei Chov, and then the people who lent her the money, buy him in front. They can come to him and make him pay off the debts.
Rabbi, can neder override the kesuba? It's obligation on the kesuba.
Well, now it's... Yeah, but now she's getting both done, right? She's getting the food, ultimately, and there is a neder. So now, 1 second. My time. Why can she do this? Bale Chovin Nifrain. Why can the people who lend her money go to the husband and make him pay? I'm saying once they make him pay, so basically, the money that they gave her is now being exchanged with his money. Right? His money is taking the place of the money that they gave her. So basically, he is exchanging his money for their money, and then their money is going to her. So basically, you see that even though he made a prohibition on his objects to give her benefit, that which is exchanged for his objects can still give her benefit. So lav mishum dechiluf and lav kigedul and dam. You see that what is exchanged is not considered to be something which grew out of the object, and therefore it's not prohibited. So Amarava Sarava said no. Dilma maybe lechatchila hudalo. When we say that if I make a neder on my stuff, and I prohibit my stuff to Kim, not only is my stuff prohibited, but even that which is exchanged for my stuff, I shouldn't give to Kim. Mm-hmm. But here it's different. E avad. Here it's already it was done. In other words, it's not as if the husband said, okay, my money is prohibited to my wife. I'm going to go and flip my money for apples, and now I'm going to give the apples to the wife. He didn't do that. It was that the wife went, and she already spent money from Yaakov. She borrowed Yaakov's money and spent Yaakov's money. And now Yaakov is coming to the husband and saying, hey, you know, I already spent money on your wife. So that's not called an exchange, right? When you say that oranges that came in for the apples are part of the apple. That's when you have an apple, you exchange it for an orange. So now the orange comes from the apple. But if you already ate the orange, and now you're being made whole by the apple being given to you, so there's nothing here there's no exchange anymore. It already happened. So that's not an exchange, which is a form of an outgrowth. It's not an outgrowth. It already was done. She already spent the money. And now she's getting reimbursed. She's not even getting reimbursed. She already spent Yaakov's money. Now Yaakov is getting reimbursed from the husband. So it's not that the husband took his money, exchanged his money for something else, and now what he exchanged it for, he's trying to give to his wife. His wife already spent money. She already ate. And now we're just trying to pay off what she ate. So that's already not considered a problem.
She borrowed the money from Yaakov before the husband makes a neder? Is that what you're saying?
No, she borrowed the money after the husband made a neder. But before the husband paid Yaakov, she already spent Yaakov's money. It's if the husband would go to Yaakov and say, here's money, and now you go give something to my wife. So that would be an exchange, which might be problematic, but that's not what happened here. Yaakov already spent money, and now they're coming back to get reimbursed from the husband. The money's already gone. So that's, you can't say there's an exchange of the money. Let's just end the daf. Right. Says the Gemara, Ela Tashma, I can prove that an exchange is not like things that grow from the following, because we learned, Hamekadesh Ba'orla, if a man tries to give a woman fruits of Arla, that's fruits in the first 3 years, that we're not allowed to get any benefit from them, first 3 years of a tree, and he gives it to the wife as Kiddushin, Eina Mekudesha, she's not married. However, Machran, if he sold the fruits of Arla, the Kiddush Bidam Mehen, and he uses the money from it to be Mekadesher, Harezu Mekudeshes. So she is Mekudeshes. 1 second, how could that be? I mean, after all, he's not allowed to get benefit from the Orla. So how could the money that comes in for the Orla work? So it must be the pshat is like that, that apparently what you exchange it doesn't have the same status as the item itself. So the Gemara says, no, Hachanami here too. Lechatchila hudelo. In other words, if I take Orla and I exchange it for something else, the same way I can't get benefit from the Orla, I can't get benefit from that thing I exchanged it for. That's only lechatchila though, because getting benefit for what I exchange it for is like getting benefit from the item. But again, e'avad, if it was already done, he already gave the item to his wife, so then avad, once it was done, because maybe here, once it's already been exchanged, now already it no longer, once it's already been done, so that's already not considered directly getting the benefit from the item.
How can he make this neder? It's a bit from the oraita that he has to give her mezonot and etc. How can he make the neder?
Yeah, but what we've seen is that nedarim can take effect even against the mitzvah.
Even.
Yeah.